Welcome to Heartbeat, the podcast of the Heart Women's Ministry. Heart is a Catholic women's ministry whose vision is to encourage women in their faith, in their life, and in who God's created them to be. This is a place where you'll hear from some amazing women share from their heart to your heart about who God is, what God's doing in their life, and how they're doing their very best to live out their faith. We pray that you are blessed and inspired. Enjoy Heartbeat. Hello and welcome to our podcast, Heart Catholic Women. My name is Emma. Today I bring you a message that Rosemary shared at A Time With Heart. It was a gathering of women together to hear a message, to pray and to share with other women, and it was an amazing and fantastic time. So Rosemary is going to share about how we can be heroes in our lives with Jesus in our life. And then at the end of this, Rosemary and I are going to have our usual chat about the topic. We're going to talk about some questions. And if you want to watch this in a visual way, you can do that online with us this week, because this time, for the first time, we actually video recorded our podcast. But otherwise, it's all here for you. So I hope that you enjoy this message and that you enjoy our chat this week. Our theme today is you can be a hero. We all can be heroes. The heroes, the Marvel heroes, the heroes we see in comics and on the screen are not real. It's all Hollywood. It's great escapism sometimes. Because what are we escaping from this world that has its troubles and tribulations? And it's great because God desires us that we have joy and it brings us joy. I love that the superheroes, always the good fight the bad, because that is real life. And the good always win, because again, that is true. That is what happens, even if you can't see it existing right now in your life. But we can be heroes. You know, there've been heroes in the many in the world. We start off with Noah. Noah was a hero because amongst all the, what are you building? Oh my goodness, what? It hasn't rained for 40 days because he was telling people it's going to rain. We've got to build this ark. God's angry at the people not living the way they should. No, Noah had to be courageous, because what's a hero? A hero is a person who is admired for their courage, in outstanding achievements, with noble qualities, regarded as a role model. But most of the time, actually all the time except for one, are ordinary people who've done extraordinary things in their life. Noah was an ordinary man living his life, but following God and listening to God, and built an ark. And, you know, even if the story wasn't true, he did what he felt God, when I say true, because sometimes it's a story in the Bible to explain, you know, how things occurred. We do know most of the stories here are truth, are exactly history. It is what happened. But some of the beginning stories, like the Genesis story, sometimes it's how someone wrote about why there was this separation from man and God, because originally there wasn't. We were to live in the garden with God forever. We have Moses, who's a hero. Moses, who stuttered, and he was asked to petition to Pharaoh, to go to Pharaoh and talk and ask that the people in captivity for 400 years would be released. And he even said, I can't do this. But God gave him the courage. And how much courage would you have if after the first plague, don't you think you'd go, I've got it now. Pharaoh's going to say yes, because this is going to happen. Pharaoh says no. He had to go back 10 times. He had to, have you ever done it where you've had to go, it's like, you know, suck in the courage, breathe it all in to go and just talk to somebody? Well, that's what he had to do. Esther in the Bible, a courageous woman. She was
actually a Jewish girl who was captured to be in the king's concubines. And they prepared them and then presented them before the king, and the king had to select who he wanted. And she was so beautiful, but not just beautiful outwardly, beautiful inwardly. God had chosen her for a purpose. And she got chosen to be the queen. And in those days, the queen had a certain amount of authority amongst the other women. But again, remember, culturally, not amongst the men. And she, her uncle had actually found out that one of the noble people in the courts had, in a way, tricked the king to say, well, we're going to annihilate all these Jewish people, but they're part of her people. And her, the uncle said, you've got to speak up. You know, at such a time as this, you are placed here. You have to speak up. And she said, but if I speak up, I'll be killed. Because you didn't go to the king and talk to him. If he asked you to come, then you're allowed in. She was courageous. She was a hero because she decided, okay, if I'm going to be killed, I'm going to be killed, but I'm going to step up and I'm going to share with the king. But what was God had already set it up. The king loved her so much and honoured her so much. He heard her, what she shared, and he said, no, I will not kill the Jewish people. God sets us up for a purpose in all our lives. He actually wants us to be heroes where we are. You know, we have Mother Teresa, a hero for the poor people in India, because she saw a need. She saw them being not looked after, not cared for, the homeless, the dying, because she picked up a one who was injured and taken them to the hospital, but they wouldn't treat. And she says, I'm not leaving this hospital until you treat this person. And it started from that day. She was in a position where she was a teacher in a Loreto convent, and she had it on her heart. God said, leave what you're doing. You're now going to be a person on the street, simply dressed in a simple sari. She didn't wear the saris with the jewels and everything. Hers was the simple white with the blue striped sari. Loving people, serving people. And she was this, little 4-foot nun. And she started her own group of nuns to reach. She was a hero. You know, Gandhi was a hero because he stood up for the people of India because they wanted their independence. He did it peacefully. He wasn't fighting like some of the others did. But he tried to, because he was a lawyer and he knew how to speak and he knew how to talk to the government. You know, Max Kolbe was a hero. If you don't know his story, he was a priest who was collected up by the Nazis and put in Auschwitz. And something happened and 10 people were selected to be murdered in front of everybody because the prisoners had done something wrong. And this one guy cried out for mercy and said, oh, please, I've got a family. But, of course, the Nazis didn't listen to that. But Max Kolbe in the crowd heard it and he stood forward and said, I'll take the place of that man. So he gave his life for that man, and we know this story because that man survived and shared to the world the story of what Max Kolbe had done. Have you ever seen the movie Hacksaw Ridge? I love the movie. And it's a story about Desmond Doss, who had nearly killed his younger brother when he was young, and he refused from then on to handle weapons or engage in war. But when the war started, he became a combat medic. He was ridiculed by his captain, by his fellow officers, because he wouldn't pick up a gun. He's on the battlefield collecting people who were injured to take them back to the little, you know, jeep ambulance. But he wouldn't take a gun. He wouldn't protect himself in that way. He saved 75 people on the battlefield. And in the movie, and I'm exactly correct, he had to shivvy up this rope to get up to a higher, like a platform mountain where the battlefield was. And he would go up and down and up and down, passing down all the people that were injured. He actually saved his own captain. He was a hero. God asks us to be heroes. But we know the ultimate hero is Jesus Christ. He died for us. He saved our lives, our eternal lives, not only here now, but for eternity. And what does it state in John 15:13? No greater love has a man than to lay down his life for his friend. Desmond Doss, an ordinary man, laid his life down for the friends that he didn't even know. Because a hero just doesn't do it for his friends. His hero does it for whoever is in need. Jesus, what did he do? He said yes to the Father. He came off his throne and he humbled himself to become one of us, totally one of us, but totally divine at the same time. He understands what we go through. He suffered. He's been a refugee. Remember when he was young and his dad got a dream by an angel to say, escape, get move, because you're going to be killed. All the two-year-old boys and down were going to be murdered. So he had to go to Egypt. He knows what being a refugee is like. He knows what loneliness is like. He knows what's eking out a livelihood. His dad was a carpenter. We don't hear about when Joseph died, but we know that Jesus was the carpenter too. Jesus then had to look after his mother. Jesus understands totally, humanly, what we go through. And he's there for us. But he's not just there for us, he lives within us. We are never alone. In 2 Corinthians 13:5, it states, examine yourselves to see whether you're living in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you? I would love to say I think like that all the time. But then when problems come, I'm not feeling very strong, because there's days you get up and for some reason you're just feeling a bit blah, or a bit like, life's tough. I forget that Jesus lives within me. I forget that I can call on him to give me courage. I can call on the gifts of the Holy Spirit to work within me. Because it's not just human stuff that we use. God, we do. God wants us to use our gifts and abilities, but it's the spiritual that way is above the human. It makes us stronger and last longer and be more diligent and be more loving and kind and generous. Our God desires us to be heroes. Our God, and what's being a hero? It's helping people in need. You can say firefighters are heroes. They've been trained to fight fires, but they're actually ordinary people that have learnt skills. Then I've heard it many times where just the next door neighbours run into a burning house to rescue someone. Are they not heroes? You have doctors and nurses, think about it right now, in the war-torn countries in the world. They could have escaped. They could have got on those planes that have gone to rescue people to get them out. But they've stayed because they're heroes, because they want to help people. What's your nationality? Who are you? They never ask that. If there's someone in need, someone injured, hurt, dying, they will fix them. There are teachers. Our teachers are heroes. They're caring for children. They're teaching children. They're loving children, because they don't just teach the maths and the English and the other bits. A true teacher loves their students. A true teacher notices when the students are finding things tough. A true teacher cares and knows them. Mothers. Mothers are heroes. There are heroes in this room right now. There are single mothers who've had to do it all by themselves. There are mothers who are still married, but their husbands work so hard they're not even around often to help. And the mothers are ones that, what do? We make sure the children are fed. We make sure the clothes are clean. We go work ourselves often in the world to try and make sure ends meet and we can pay the school fees and all the stuff. You can think, oh, but that's just ordinary life. Yeah, it is. But you are a hero to your children because you're passing on to them diligence, perseverance, love. I love you. I'm doing this for you. And hopefully you're not just doing it from doing things, but you're expressing that to them. We're champions. I remember I would go in at night and sit beside every child's bed and I'd talk to them. And they might go, oh, Mum, I've got this tomorrow and it's so hard. I champion them. You can do it. Christ is with you. And I'd start teaching them scriptures. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. My son used to wrote it out on a piece of newspaper and stuck it to the roof of his room. And I walked in one day and I noticed it. And he said, don't take it down. He said, I want to, before I go to sleep, I want to read it. And I want to, when I wake, I want to read it. Because I want to know that God is with me. You can be a hero to your children. And they don't have to be this whole or age or this young. You could be heroes to your adult children. They need champions. They need to say, we're behind you, we're with you, we love you. Of course, sometimes we might say, I don't agree with what you're doing, but we still love, we still serve, we still honour them because it's Christ who will reach them and Christ might be using us, Christ in us, to reach them. Don't ever give up. Fathers are heroes. The responsibility that dads have, I wouldn't want. Because if I don't feel up to it, I can just go, there you are, Bruce. In a way. But also when, hey, women, are there days when you're very emotional and your husband comes to you and says, what's up? And you go, I don't know, but I just feel like crying. And they go, what do I do with that? Because Bruce goes, if you tell me something to fix, I can try and fix it. But that's like, and I often share and say, other women would know how I feel. But the responsibility still gets put on the men's shoulders. They feel responsible to supply, to provide, because protect. That's part of their psyche. That's part of the character that God's given man. Well, we're a bit more nurturing and collecting and sharing because that's us. You know, I can speak 19 to a dozen and Bruce might say two words, but I've got to allow him to say the two words. Otherwise, we can speak too much. I have to be a hero for my husband. I have to be a hero for my fellow workers. I've been in tough situations where work is just terrible and the bosses treat people terribly. And behind the scenes, all the staff would start coming to me and going, am I really like that? I go, no, you're amazing. Every time they served people really well, I'd say, wow, look how you cared for that person. Look how you loved that person. Because I was a pharmacist. I worked in the health industry. And they'd go, oh, sorry, I didn't come and help you serving people and whatever because this staff member was listening to a lady who was crying and was in need. And I said to her, I'm fine. I'm just doing things. You're caring and loving for people. You take as long as you like because that's what we're there for. I'm not there to hand out pills. I'm there to care and love for people. So we as Christians know that the hero within us is Christ. He gives us our strength. He gives us our hope. I've seen it in so many people when they feel like I've got nothing left to give. Life is too hard. And then God somehow comes and shows them, when you are weak, I am strong. I can give you the strength that you need to keep going, to keep persevering, and not just to survive, but to flourish and do amazingly things in this world. You know, little children dress up to be the superhero and wear the cape. But you know, this big child wants to dress up sometimes and wear the cape too. But my cape is not a cape as such. It's Jesus Christ, because it states in Ephesians 4:24, clothe yourselves with the new self, created according to the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. It's Christ's righteousness that clothes us. It's his holiness that clothes us. That's our capes. That's what we've got to remember to pull around us, to make us warm, to give us hope, so that we can live the lives God has called us to live. We are all heroes. The person beside you, if you knew truly their story, they are heroes. We all have a story to tell. We can be heroes in our ordinary lives, because we're Christ followers. We do what God has asked us to do. We give of ourselves. We care. We notice. We stand up for injustice. We're generous. Ordinary people doing extraordinary things. We raise a family. We give to society. And the reward is not a medal. The reward is not being accoladed by anybody in the world. The reward one day will be when we stand before the Lord, living God, and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. You did what I asked you to do. You can be a hero to your next door neighbour. There's so many opportunities to be a hero. Because remember, it's being the ordinary you, doing just that extraordinary, that little bit different. I remember when Emma was first working as a lawyer, she came home one day and said she was introduced to everybody in the office. But there was this one office with a man sitting in there she wasn't introduced to. And she goes, oh, who's he? And they said, oh, nobody talks to him. And Emma thought about it and reflected upon it and thought, that's not how I am. That's not how I want to act, how I want to be. So she knocked on the door and said, hi, I'm Emma. I'm only new here. What's your name? And he looked at her like totally shocked, gave him his name, and then Emma said, oh, I better get back to work. Not long after, he came over and said, why did you come and say hello to me? And she said, because I'm new and I wanted to introduce myself to everybody. He said, nobody ever says hello to me. What a lonely existence. You know, every day when she was at work from then on, he and her would say hello to each other. She was the hero. Where can you be a hero? They're just simple, ordinary things. Maybe you'll never be able to fight fire and run in and rescue someone from a burning house. But maybe you can smile at someone and tell them that they're awesome. I was in Target picking up a lay-by one day, and you're waiting in line, and this young girl was serving someone, and the lady in front, you could tell, was a bit irate, wasn't very nice. And the young girl, afterwards, she went out the back, and then when she came back out, you could tell she'd been crying. And so it was my turn next to go up to her, and I said, "Are you all right?" And she said, "Oh, I just had a very unkind customer." And I said, "Well, don't let that unkind customer tell you who you are. You're gracious. You're awesome." And I reiterated it again because I'd asked her. I wasn't actually picking up a lay-by. I wanted to find an item and I couldn't find it in the store. So she looked it up. She looked it on the computer. She could have said, "Oh, it's in aisle D, da-da-da." She looked it on the computer, she came out, she walked with me and showed me exactly where it was. And I said, "See, that's the type of person that you are. Don't let that person tell you, because it's not true." And we actually hugged. I don't even know the girl. I've never seen her since. And she said, "Thank you. Can you not do that for somebody? You're championing them. You're the hero for them. You're saying, come on, life doesn't have to be like this. This is the way God has asked us to live. It's an upside down kingdom. The first will be last and the last will be first. Serve, give, be generous." And I know everyone in this room is like that. And God asks us to be more like that. You know, there's a little scripture that God, the Holy Spirit, has been bringing into my mind over the last few months. Something happens at home. Bruce does something that I think, "Oh, I always tell him to put the coffee cups there and he puts them in the wrong spot," or something stupidly simple like that. And I can get aggro about it, which is ridiculous. And the Holy Spirit says, "Choose to not take offense." So I pick up the coffee cups, put them back where they go, and they say nothing. Because it's only me who was offended that it was in the wrong spot. It's no big deal, really. Don't take offence. Take it on your shoulders. Be gracious. Think he wasn't thinking, didn't realise, forgot, whatever. You want people to be gracious to you. So remember, you can be a hero. It is the Spirit that lives within us, and we desire the best thing that we can ever desire is that our Lord, when we stand before him, he welcomes us with open arms and says, "Well done. Come into my kingdom. I've got a room just waiting for you. I've been preparing for this day." And hopefully, I know it says there'll be no more tears, but we have tears of joy. Tears of joy that finally we're here. And then we can enjoy life forever and ever and ever.
Hello, my name is Emma and I'm the host of the Heart Catholic Women podcast. Every week on our podcast, Rosemary and I chat about how we live out our faith in our everyday lives. And after hearing that fabulous message, I did not want to miss the opportunity to chat to Rosemary about today's topic and to share that with you all. So right now joining me is Rosemary. Hello, Rosemary.
Hello.
Now, we record our podcast every week, but we don't usually record it in this fashion where people can see us. That's right. So I was thinking this week about how, like, newsreaders, when they, you know, have a desk, you know, they're all like...
they can hide underneath.
Yeah, sort of thing. Whereas usually when we do our podcast, no one knows what we look like when we're doing it. So we're doing it a bit differently today.
Yeah.
But I wanted to give a shout out to all the ladies who do tune in to our podcast every week. But this week, today, we have people joining us online, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
And right now, in your online platform, you can chat with your hosts about what Rosemary and I are about to talk about now.
So you can talk about it too.
That's right. So soon we're going to talk about a few questions, which is what we do in our podcast every week. We chat about the topic of the week. And If you're in the online platform, you can discuss these questions with your host, so we'll put them up very, very soon. Now, you started by talking about superheroes and the kind of superheroes that maybe that we grew up with in our lives. I know for me, my favourite superhero was Superman.
Yes.
Did you have a favourite superhero?
No, I didn't grow up with superheroes. The only person was, I guess, Superman in the comic books. And then when they came on the screen, it was black and white. And whenever there was a, say, a fight scene, there was the bubble with the word across it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because they didn't have...
Kapow or something.
Yes, because they didn't have the sound that they nowadays do to make it real. Mm. So, no, I mean, I enjoy watching the superhero movies now. But no, I never grew up with that type of concept.
Whereas I loved Superman so much that when it got to my confirmation, I actually went looking for a St. Lois so I could choose that as my confirmation saint. I loved it so much.
Yeah.
But if we get into what we're going to talk about really about being heroes, there's three questions that I want to talk about today. And for those of you in our online platform, these will come up now. The first question is, who are the heroes in your life? Then we want to chat about, can you think of a time where you have stepped up to be courageous with the help of the Holy Spirit? And then the last question we're going to talk about today is, in your life right now, where is the Holy Spirit prompting you to be extraordinary? So, if we start at the top, who are the heroes in your life?
The first things that come to my mind is my parents. Mm. I'm one of six children. They always gave. When I was home and I was younger, I never heard them complain. Mm. I never heard them, you know, stress about the normal stresses of life, which is like paying bills and, you know, making sure they have ends meet and, you know, there's food on the table and caring for us and giving us the best in life. I remember because... my dad loved athletics and loved anything to do with sport. So he encouraged us to develop anything. So he would take us on Saturday to tennis lessons. Then there was a time then when we used to do swimming. So at 5 o'clock every morning before school, he would drive us to the swimming pool to have the team lessons that we had. And then he would wait in the car and have breakfast for us when we came out. And then we got changed in our school uniform and dropped us to school. And I never heard him once complain because he had to get ready for work himself at that time. But he did it because he wanted to give us like a rounded education. They didn't have much money, but as we got older, they saved up money and took, like I remember they took us to see The Merchant of Venice. And it was the most, because we got dressed up, we went and saw the play, and it was the most amazing thing. Then we chatted as a family about it because the six children that Mum and Dad had were quite close together, so we could all discuss it. Mm. And just things that they aspired to, but then not just that, it was their faith. It was their love of God. It was how they shared it, how they encouraged us to, do Lent as a family, how we used to say the rosary at different times, how we honoured, they taught us how to honour people. So they're my heroes.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, I wrote down some myself and one of the ones I wrote down was my gran, because I always found it amazing her servant heart that she always had. She always just cared for us, you know, in terms of, you know, if there's anything we ever needed around the house, she was always there ready to help. I remember coming home from school one day and her getting out like, you know, the toothpaste to clean the white shoes. And she just always, she never complained about those things. Whereas nowadays, if I had to do that, I'd be like, no, like that's why I don't have white shoes. But Gran never complained about those things because she just wanted to give. Mm. And that's the kind of hero that I think of when I think of her. Another one that I've been thinking of lately is recently one of my nieces overseas got baptised. And I was asked to be her godmother. And so I was trying to think of what kind of gift could I give her. And I was thinking about Esther in the Bible. And the phrase that often we've heard about a lot is perhaps you were born for such a time as this. Mm-hmm. And just how this woman who had to stand up against all odds, against being scared of what could have happened to her, and she was able to step up into what God wanted her to do. Yeah, and I've been really convicted by that in the last week or so.
Yeah, it's interesting how no matter where you're born, there's things we have to face.
Mm.
You know, there's choices we have to make and very much involved with our faith, with what God asks of us. So we weren't born in Esther's time, but we can relate to what the struggles that she had to go through, the courage that she needed to step up and be the hero in her time.
Mm.
And that's so true.
Because you give examples when you're sharing your message about parents of children who maybe have additional needs or people who are carers for their parents as they get elderly or they get sick. And if we're really honest, when I think about the word hero, I don't think about the word hero in relation to me in my everyday life.
But you are a hero too.
Yeah, but I don't think about the word hero in that way. Like I think of the hero as the person who, you know, races into the burning building and saves, you know, someone who's in desperate need. So when you're using that in the context of in my everyday life, I go, oh, okay, I haven't thought about it like that before.
But the person running into the burning building, that happened in their everyday life. That example might not be in your life, but yours might just be getting up and helping your daughter who can't often feed breakfast to herself.
Yeah, she didn't want to eat it this morning.
No, I just so you have to do it.
Yeah.
You know, get her dressed totally. You know, because she can stand there but she can't put on the socks. You tried to teach her how to put on shoes and different things. So you are stepping up and having courage just in your everyday life, doing everyday things. And so a hero in the terms that I'm using it is that we're ordinary people doing the extraordinary things that just come up.
But as you and I know, you don't always feel like you can do the extraordinary.
No.
Like you feel like you need, well, we know we need God to help us to be able to do that. So the second question I wanted to get into today is, can you think of a time where you've stepped up to be courageous with the help of the Holy Spirit?
Many times, actually, when I was a pharmacist and I always tried to, as I was driving to work, say, Lord, can I be Jesus to people today? Can I bring you into my life, not like a separate? He's in my life, so let me be Jesus. Let me speak Jesus. Let me care like Jesus does. And it was a bit scary because when I went home that night, driving home, I'd go, oh, my goodness, I prayed that this morning and look what's just happened.
Yep.
And I can remember the three instances especially that stand out to me. There was a beautiful customer who came in and I got to know them by name and I got to know their pet dogs and their family and they'd show me photos and I just loved working there. I loved working with the people. And this gentleman was walking up and down the aisles looking for something and it was at a time when I was had time. So I went down and asked him, can I help you? And he said, yes, I'm looking for Nair. Now, you've learnt, sorry, for those of you who might not know, Nair is a cream that you put on that takes off hair.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And you learn as a pharmacist to keep a straight face because I'm not being judgmental. I don't know why he's buying it, et cetera. Anyway, and I come around here and I said, I didn't ask him what it was for, but he then said, my wife and I are struggling. We're having a lot of fights. And I know the history of them. They're an Italian older couple and their child died when you know, quite a few years ago before I even met them. But they were still struggling in their grief. They'd never spoken about it, especially the man who didn't want to share and the wife did. And they were just struggling for a long, long time. And he said, and she won't cut my hair anymore. So I thought if I use the Nair on my head and take all the hair off, I don't have to worry about getting it cut. And I was like, I had to hold myself together because I was going to burst into tears for him. So I said, well, I suggest you use the sensitive cream. And then I gave him a big hug and I said, I'll pray for you and I'll pray for your wife. Because again, over the years, I knew that he had faith. And, you know, like somehow I wanted to express that I cared about him, that I cared about his situation. And when his wife came in a few days later, I didn't express anything. Everything is hush-hush, you know, confidential. And then she shared a little bit because she's the one who shares more. And I'll just, all I could say was, I gave her a hug and I said, I'll pray for you. Now, I don't know where their marriage is now, but I prayed for them continually after that day, especially because they both had such a need. Another instance was we were very busy one day and there was a gentleman. You always get to, I guess, being a woman and a wife and a mother, you often can multitask. Mm. We do have a gift in that. And you often sometimes have a bit of a sixth sense. And I had looked up and seen this gentleman over in the corner and he seemed very stressed and fidgety and hassled. So I asked one of the staff members, can you go down and see if he needs any help? And she came back and she said, he'd like to talk to you. And I said, well, just tell him we're a bit busy right now. Can you just wait? And so I was trying to do all the other bits that you need to do. And then there was a gap. So I walked down and I said, how can I help you? And he said, I'm a drug addict. I've just got out of hospital and I'm now going on to therapy to try and help myself. But they gave me instructions and they gave me some tablets, but I can't remember. I'm anxious. I don't want to go back where I was, you know, and he was like really jittery. And I said, wait here. So we had doctor surgeries beside us and we had a very good rapport with them. So I rang the doctor's surgery and I spoke to one of the head doctors because, again, I knew him quite well and said, can I send over this man? He just needs you to talk to him. He needs to go through the medicine. I can go through the medicines, but more other things. Yes.
Yeah.
And so he did that. And I didn't see him for a few days later. And when a few days later he walked in and he was a different person. And he said, thank you for sending me to that doctor. The doctor was kind and caring and showed me the phone number that I need to ring if I have issues, that I could come back to see him anytime, and that these are the meds that you're taking because it's going to help you. And he just said, thank you for taking the time. And I thought, well, that's my job. That's what I do. But in another way, it's not my job. It's what Jesus has asked me to do as a person, to care about people's needs.
Yeah, I like how when you were telling those two stories, how you said, like, you asking the Holy Spirit to come and be with you and then presenting you those opportunities.
But then when I went down there, I still sent up prayers like, give me the words to say, what do I do? How do I help them?
Mm.
And then there was another beautiful lady and she had an autistic daughter who was 20 years of age. And she had very bad epileptic fits. So she was an often visitor to us in the pharmacy. And she found out she had breast cancer.
Mm.
But what happened was she walked in and I could tell in her demeanour something was up. And I said to her, what's wrong? And she goes, oh, no. But I could really tell. And so I pushed it that bit more because of the friendship that we'd built up. And I said, no, what's wrong? And it was beautiful because at that time we were quiet. It's not normal.
You had the
normally
opportunity
happen.
To
I had
talk.
The opportunity to take her aside and we sat down together. And then she started crying and said, I've just found out I've got cancer. Mm-hmm. And so I said, would you like me to pray for you? So we did right there and then while we were sitting down together. But you know what was more beautiful? Mm-hmm. As the months went on, she had therapy. She blamed herself because she realized they found out she had that gene. And she had passed it on to one of the daughters and she blamed herself. And I said, you don't know that. That's just what happens. But then when she'd go to therapy and come in and you could tell she was worn and the hair was starting to fall out and she looked very grey in her skin, never once complained. She'd just go, I've just met these 16-year-olds in this cancer ward and they shouldn't be here. The love that she had for people. So whenever she came in, every time the Holy Spirit made the time quiet and we sat down and chatted. And I, in the end, started going to her house and having cups of tea with her and to her partner. It was beautiful. Her husband, when she had this daughter, because she had two daughters, one was the older one who had got the breast cancer gene, the other one had the epileptic fits and they knew from birth there was problems. Her husband walked out on her. But over the years she met this beautiful man. He was beautiful and he cared for them. I moved cities. And I had got her phone number because we used to stay and chat. And when I rang her, and her partner answered and said, she died 2 weeks ago. It was so hard. And he said, if ever you're here, would you come and visit? Which I did. Beautiful people. And sometimes you can't do anything, but you can love and care and pray for them. They are heroes. So beautiful in their heroism. You know, even he now, he looks after the daughter that's not his and takes her to where they go and stay a day and do activities and things because she can talk and she can walk and she picks up wonderful language sometimes from other people. But they're just gorgeous people. Mm. And so God in my life has given me people that I can see as heroes, has given me examples of where I can just love and just share Jesus with them.
There have been a few times in my life where I've driven into work and before I've gotten out of the car, said to myself, okay, Lord, if you want to use me today, you know, use me. And then I remember saying that prayer and then getting out of the car and then being like, whoa, what could come?
Anything.
You know, but if we step into that, then God does want to use us mm-hmm. in just the everyday conversations
yep.
that we have with people. Let's move on to our last question, and it's in your life right now, where is the Holy Spirit prompting you to be extraordinary?
I hear the Holy Spirit more and more going, go over and talk to that person, go and encourage that person. The last few years I've really, the Holy Spirit's put on my heart that I'm a Barnabas.
Encourager.
The yeah. encourager. That's my role. I do it to my husband. I do it to my children, my family, my grandchildren now, and hopefully I do it to my work colleagues, but not just work colleagues, anyone I meet. Like I was at the lay-by. Lay-by is, you know, where you put some gifts away or things that you want to buy but you'll pay it off.
Paid off, yeah.
Because then you can balance your budget a bit. And this young girl in front of me was getting harassed and yelled at by the other customer. And as I stepped up, she was very sniffly and she'd gone out the back and then came forward again.
And she'd been crying. And you said that you shared in our message today about how you went and encouraged her. Yeah.
What else could I do? But I just told her, don't listen to that person. You're a wonderful girl. You're helping. You help me. Because I asked her a question and she, instead of just saying, oh, because I needed something and it was on a shelf, instead of just saying, oh, it's over there, she walked with me and got the item and showed me.
Yeah.
And I said, look what you just did. And that's what I can do more. I can point out to people even, you're the hero. You're the one that's doing the extraordinary outside of what the scope of what you are supposed to do. And that's all God asks of us.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to the weekly challenge then. So the weekly challenge I've written down for this week is to actively ask the Holy Spirit to be with you before entering a situation.
Yeah, ask him.
Yeah.
Be deliberate about it.
Yeah. So for people who've listened to our podcast before, they will know that we have a weekly challenge every week and it's meant to be something where you can practically take a step, to step into trying to implement your faith in your life. So this week it is actively ask the Holy Spirit to be with you before you enter a situation. So even like when you gave the examples of going down to talk to someone when you're at work and then just asking the Holy Spirit to come
with
you.
I didn't know what was going to be posed that day.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks for that chat.
Thank you.
We talked about a lot about how the Holy Spirit comes into our everyday lives, which is awesome. So we hope that you've all enjoyed that. We hope that you had a great discussion during this on the online platform with your hosts. And I encourage you to come with me now as I lead you in this next section. We're going to take some time to pray now. So if you want to grab your pens and your Connect cards, for those of you here in the room with me, and there's a section in there that says prayer requests. If you are joining us online, then if you want to grab yourself a piece of paper and a pen, then you can join us in this prayer that we're about to have. You know, I'm struck as Rosemary was sharing about the word hero for me. When I think of the word hero, with Jesus in my life, I actually think of the word holy, to be holy. And there's something a bit scary about the word holy, because you can think, that's not me. You know, I can't be holy. And it made me also think about the story of Mary, when the angel came to Mary. Mary was just doing her ordinary, everyday thing. And an angel comes to her and says, you are going to be the mother of the Son of God. And Mary was holy. And in her everydayness, God chose her. And in our everydayness, God chooses us. Now, if your life is anything like mine, I'm not being called to be Mother Teresa. I'm not called to go to another place in the world. My job is to wake up every morning, get myself ready, get my daughter ready for school, make sure she's fed, drop her to school, come home, do the work that I need to do around the house. Maybe that's make beds, maybe that's vacuuming some days, maybe that's running my small business that I have, and then it's to pick her up, take her to what she needs. That's where I am holy, where I am mum, where I am daughter, where I am friend. And God calls us in our everyday life to be holy. That's where we are a hero, in the everydayness of our lives. In the book of Acts, it says that we are ordained for the time and the place in which we live. God calls us to this time and place. And for some of us today here, we might be in a time of waiting where we think, I don't know what's happening in my life right now. Maybe you're in a time of servanthood where you are called to serve the people in your life, people around you. Maybe you're retired and you're thinking, what does that mean for me right now? What can I do with my time? For all of us, we're in different seasons, and God calls us to be holy in that season. So we're going to take some time now to pray. And what I want you to do is to write down three things on your prayer card, or three things on your piece of paper. And the first thing I want you to write down, we're going to give you some time to pray. The first thing is I want you to pray for something for yourself. I want to pray for your own needs. We all have needs. We always do. And so I want you to pray for something for yourself. The second thing I want you to pray for is for someone else's need, someone in your life who maybe means something to you, a friend, a work colleague, someone in your family. And then the third thing that you can pray about is a need in the world. We all know the world has a lot of need right now. So let's take this minute to jot down our prayer needs, and then I'm going to come back and pray for them all together. Why don't you just hold your card that you've got, and hold your paper or your journal if you're watching with us at home, and let's pray for these needs that we have here today. Lord Jesus, we worship you. We thank you that you call us to holiness in our everyday lives, Lord God. That for some of us right now, that might be waking in the middle of the night to feed a baby, to put a child back to bed. Maybe for some of us right now, our ordinariness of life, Lord, is going to work, because that's where you call us. You call us to be in the world working, Lord God, and to bring our gifts to the world, Lord Jesus. For some of us right now, Lord, maybe we're waiting. We're not sure what life is bringing us. We're not sure what we want to do next, Lord God, but we sit in that waiting, Lord God, and you call us to be holy in that. Maybe for some of us, Lord God, we're retired and you're calling us to the next phase of our lives to sit at your feet, Lord Jesus. Lord, right now, we pray for our needs. This first thing that we've written down right now, Lord God, you know what that is. We pray for these needs right now, Lord God. For some of us, Lord Jesus, we might need financial breakthrough. For others of us, Lord God, we need your health. We need your help with our health, Lord God. You know we have a health battle. So we pray right now for your miracles, Lord God. We pray for your will in our health, Lord God. We pray for the circumstances that we're facing right now, that you would come and be mighty, that we would stand in awe of what you are going to do in this area, Lord God. Lord, some of us, we need direction. We need wisdom. Lord, it says in the book of James that if we ask for wisdom, you will give us wisdom. So right now, Lord God, we ask for wisdom. For those of us who need direction, for those of us who need guidance, we pray for your wisdom in our lives, Lord God. Lord, we pray for your provision. There are those of us right now who need you to provide for us because it's not something we can do. We've tried everything, Lord God, but we need you to come and to provide for us, Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray for the second thing that we've written down today. Lord, we pray for someone else's needs. We pray for a friend in our life who needs you. We pray for a family member, maybe a work colleague. Lord, you know their circumstance. You know the intimate detail of what they need, Lord Jesus. And we ask that you would come right now, that with your mighty power and love, that you would come upon this situation and you would bring your peace, you would bring your guidance, you would bring your love, and that you would bring your grace, Lord God. And Lord, we pray for the needs of our world. Our world is hurting right now, Lord Jesus. There are wars around the world right now where people are dying, people are hurting, Lord God, and they are crying out to you. And right now we ask, Lord God, for your peace. We pray for your miracles to appear in these situations, Lord God. We pray that people would be astounded by the miracles and the love and the peace that you would be providing. Solutions that are beyond our ability to give, Lord Jesus, we ask that you would come right now. Now, maybe today you're feeling far from God, or maybe you've never given your life to God before. And I want to pray for that for you right now. Lord Jesus, Lord, I pray for people here right now who have never asked you to come into their life, Lord Jesus. I pray right now that you would come, that you would be the hero in their lives, Lord Jesus. I pray that as they step into a life with you, Lord God, that you would give them that extraordinary they need to live their everyday lives, Lord Jesus. I thank you for the love that you offer, the peace that you give, the grace that you pour upon us, Lord Jesus. And Lord, right now, we ask that you would come into our hearts just that little bit more, Lord God, to a deeper place, that you would take us to a new place with you. And if you haven't asked that for yourself before, you can do that right now. All you have to say is, Lord, would you come? Would you come and live in my life? Lord, I thank you right now for the provision, for the love, for the grace that you're pouring into our needs, to our friends' needs, and to the world, Lord God. And together, Lord God, we ask all of this in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today. I hope that message has really blessed you, and we both look forward to chatting with you again next week. Bye.